I will always remember the Giant fans.
10-5 touchdown!
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. I'm Bob Papa. The New York Giants in 1994 selected Jason Sehorn in the second round of the draft out of USC. Here's a kid from California who played limited college football, but wound up becoming a household name in New York City.
First and 10, Patriots at their own 22. Bledsoe to throw. Intercepted by Sehorn, running down the right sideline. Touchdown, Jason Sehorn!
All right, so you're born in California, you're raised in California, play your college ball in California, and now you're getting drafted by the New York Giants. Well, what's the first thought going through your head when you find out, I'm going to the Giants?
Having never left the state of California other than to play some games my whole life, it was difficult. I knew nothing about New York or the Giants or the history or the tradition or what this place meant. I was a kid from California.
You're at USC, all right? First, you were like a wide receiver. How'd you wind up on the defensive side of the ball?
That's a good story. So I get to SC. I was a JC All-American for 2 years, and I thought to myself, you know, SC could use some help at wide receiver position. Larry Smith was my coach, and he took us all through the drills offensively and defensively those first couple days and sat me down and said, hey, you can play wide out here, but you're not going to start. But if you go to defense, I think you could play right now. And as a JC transfer, I only had 2 years, so I wanted to play. Moved over to defense, played safety the first year. And then Dennis Thurman came in my senior year with a John Robinson staff and switched me to corner. He just looked at me. He's like, dude, you're too big and fast. I'm wasting you at safety. Well, you want to play corner? And once again, it was one of those things where, sure.
Those first couple of years, those first 2 years, you're trying to find your way as an NFL player. They're trying to find
a spot.
where your best fit was.
Unfortunately, when I got here as a safety, I was pigeonholed as a strong safety just because I was big. About halfway through my rookie year, and Mike Nolan sat me down and goes, what do you want to do? And I said, I don't want to play strong safety. I want to play corner. And so they moved me to corner. And so week 8 or 9, I started playing and, you know, played from then on.
Perot takes the snap, settles in the pocket, throws, and the pass intercepted by Sehorn along the right sideline. Still on his feet, trying to cut across field, and he trips on the AstroTurf and goes down at the Redskin 43. Jason Sehorn's first interception of the year gives the Giants great field position.
In 1996, Jason Sehorn had a breakout year, leading the Giants with 5 interceptions. The following season, in 1997, he was even better.
The 97 season, 10-5-1, you win the division. You had 6 interceptions in 97. You had a dominant year. They matched you up with the best receivers. You got the Michael Irvins. You got all the big physical elite guys. How much fun was that every week?
As a corner, I needed to be focused because you can fall asleep out there. And what I mean by that is as the game goes along, running play to the right, you know, quick hitch, slant over here, and all of a sudden you've gone 3 or 4 plays, maybe a series, they haven't thrown to your guy, and you're like, oh man, you know, your mind just starts to wander. Well, when they tell you on Monday, okay, this coming week, you're on Irvin the entire game. Well, now you ratchet up a little bit. You realize, all right, they're probably going to throw to him a lot. I might want to figure out what he does, his strengths and weaknesses, and then you're in the game the entire time just dialed in. And that could just be my mentality, but I enjoyed it a lot more knowing what my responsibility was always. I liked the competition of it, and more importantly, I liked the fact that I had the focus of an individual to chase around.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. Jason Sehorn.
Ostetler, 7-step drop, looks, throws right, pass intercepted by Sehorn, the receiver fell. Sehorn down the left sideline to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants! Jason Sehorn gets another interception today, he returns it for a score. They are the NFC Eastern Division champions.
Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian, Jason Sehorn.
It is game time! Let's win this thing! 1, 2, 3! Get in his face!
The 97 season. You win the division, you lose the playoff game, but everybody's kind of fired up about the Giants here because there is a lot of positives. It's good young, all good young defensive players. Enough new playmakers on offense. Got to kind of get the quarterback situation figured out. Looking for a spark here and there so we get to the preseason the next year, and there's Jason Sehorn returning a kickoff.
Ego. It was the ego of an athlete going, I can do this. And I knew I could do it. It wasn't a question of athletic ability. And I wasn't even thinking of getting hurt, obviously. It was like, I want to go do this. I want the ball in my hand.
Did you know right away that not good?
Yeah. I'd broken many things. Nothing ever felt like that. I mean, I felt it when someone hit me from the side and it just buckled awkward. And when I stood up, as I was running, I just remember my knee was like, it was kind of flopping. And so I get to the sideline and I remember Dr. Warren comes over. He goes, what's wrong? I said, I tweaked my knee. He comes over and he kind of does his little shake thing, whatever they do. And I'll never forget him looking up at me. He goes, yeah, you got your ACL and you got your MCL. And I took his little bald head and I was like, what? Are you sure? He's like, yeah, I don't regret it. I don't. I'm not going to look back and go, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. So much happened from that. It changed me as a player. It is what it is. It's part of your life.
All right, so you're this gifted athlete. Now you sustain this injury. Did you ever worry that you might not ever be able to be the same?
Mm-hmm. I've worried that I wouldn't be able to, you know, plant and cut and jump and all that kind of stuff. And you just can't visualize you being able to be athletic again and do all that stuff.
You came back pretty big, though, didn't you?
A little too big.
A little too big.
Yeah, about 230.
Yeah. What?
That was an accident.
What were you thinking?
I wasn't thinking. I never stepped on a scale. I just spent 6 months.
But you didn't come back fat. You just came back
No, I was just
big.
Huge.
It's like
and
you became a linebacker.
I mean, I was as big as Armstead. I mean, we were saying to each other, oh, well, I don't know how this is going to work out. Straight line speed was fine. It was just to play corner, you do need to be a little bit lighter so you can maneuver around the football field. It took a while to lose that weight. And I came into training camp that year with about probably 15 pounds more than I need to carry.
The team misses the playoffs in 98. You know, obviously you're out. It's a big blow to the team. Quarterback issues. 99, again, team's kind of going nowhere fast. And they bring in Kerry Collins. Were you surprised that they brought him in? And what was your first interaction with him?
He was my roommate in training camp. You know, we're in there and I'm on the computer and I'm looking at, you know, scores and, you know, football and this and that. He's in his room looking at, you know, bull semen for his studs in North Carolina at his cattle ranch. I was like, are you kidding me? You're buying bull semen to inseminate cows? He was like, yeah.
Now, how was he received by
Warm.
The team?
We're the New York Giants. Our owners are Wellington Mara and Mr. Tisch. And so you look at those two guys. If they're willing to sign off on this deal, okay, and bring this guy in here, he's not all bad, you know, and we need to win some games. Let's get down to the end result here. We've had some issues with quarterbacks being consistent. That's the best guy we can get. And, oh, by the way, when you watch him play, he can really throw the ball.
Collins back. Collins looks. Collins throws right. Caught, touchdown! What a throw by Collins!
So now we get to 2000. Tiki's finally getting his chance now. Toomer, it's now starting to click for him. Ike is Ike. You got Hilliard. They went out and they brought in a veteran bunch of guys to play offensive line, kind of rebuild that whole thing. Did you feel in camp in 2000 that it was different?
Yeah, like they built a team. You've seen the offensive side progress over time, and the defensive side was still, you know, under the tutelage of Foxy with most of the core guys intact. And we're watching the other side catch up. And so you have this feeling that if we do our job, they're going to do their job. And so it's kind of nice for us as a defense to go, wow, we can score some points now.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. Jason Sehorn.
He was an exceptional athlete. I mean, he had a 45-inch vertical leap. He ran like a 4.2. He went in the weight room, he'd do 365, 385 at 4 dB. It was just phenomenal to see.
Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. Jason Sehorn.
Chandler to throw. Rolling, throwing, and the pass is intercepted. Intercepted by Sehorn. Jason Sehorn across the 20 to the 25 and knocked down at the 30.
Hickman to throw deep down the left sideline looking for Irvin. Intercepted by Sehorn at the 10. Up to the 15, 20, 25, and run out of bounds at the 31.
In the 2000 season, New York raced out to a 7-2 start. But back-to-back losses to the St. Louis Rams and Detroit Lions had some people wondering whether this mid-season slump would jeopardize the Giants' playoff chances.
So now we get to 2000, and it gets a little wacky in the middle of the season. So then Fossil does the old,
this is a poker game, I'm shoving my chips to the middle of the table. I'm raising the ante, anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, can get out. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs.
We were 6-3 before the game. We're 7-4 after. We're still probably going to make the playoffs. When did the sky fall with a loss to Detroit? It wasn't the end of the world. Great motivational tactic. It worked.
Following Fossil's prediction, the Giants reeled off 5 consecutive victories and finished off the regular season in spectacular fashion.
Hollis to kick the ball. It has to go 10 yards. And it's grabbed by the Giants. Jason Sehorn, he's going to run it in. Touchdown, Giants!
And heading into the playoffs, New York would face their arch nemesis.
All right, so now the big thing, though, in that 2000 season was this rivalry with the Philadelphia Eagles. I remember being in the booth, and there was a different vibe in Giants Stadium right before the kickoff of the Giants-Eagles playoff game. You can almost feel the energy. And then Ron Dixon takes the opening kickoff for a touchdown.
Dixon will take it from his own 4. Up to the 10, 15, breaks right 20, 25, 30. There goes Dixon to the outside. It's a foot race. Ron Dixon in midfield. Ron Dixon's going to score.
The way we were playing defensively at that point, we felt as though game over. When things like that happen, as a defense, you go out there completely free to play football. So when you're up 7-0, as a defense, as our defense that season in particular, you're just walking out there going, let's go play.
You have one of the greatest plays in Giants Stadium history, is your interception.
McNabb again over center. Drops straight back. Giants on a blitz. McNabb hit as he throws. Swings it right. And the pass nearly. It is intercepted by Sehorn. He's got it on the run. Down the left sideline. Cuts it at the 10. 5. Touchdown!
I don't know how else to explain it. I saw the ball and went. It was an out route to the flat. He was trying to throw that thing low and away. And I just drove on it so well that I felt like I could get to it. And so I went for it. I got my hands on it. But when I hit the ground, you know, it kind of popped up a little bit. And everything just kind of happened. You know, I react, instinct, stand up, go the other way. As a player, you kind of want to have something that you're remembered for. People remember it. They'll bring it up. And I remember it. I'm not going to forget it.
Hey, I've never seen a play like that, man. Hey, Jay, I've never seen anything like that.
All right, so you knock the Eagles off.
Yeah.
Okay? So now you got to deal with the Minnesota Vikings, which best offense in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Prolific, record-setting, the whole deal.
Yes, they were uber-talented. I mean, when you think about Chris Carter, Randy Moss at his prime, you would think, all right, they're in for it. And we didn't see it that way.
Keep them off the board! Keep them off the scoreboard!
We just felt as though we're going to get after these guys. We had a fantastic game plan, and we had the confidence. We're going to take the game plan we worked on, we're going to execute it, and we're going to win.
When we talk about the weather, their whole thing was Sean Payton was like, no, we want the weather to be nice because we're going to score and score and score against these guys.
I'm not going to pretend as though we were going through the week thinking we're going to score 41 on offense. But as long as they felt great about it, I mean, they went out there and lit it up.
Collins back steps up over the middle, and he's got a man. It's Hilliard to the 5, touchdown! 46 yards down the left side!
Hilliard, they couldn't touch him. I mean, he was dancing through the middle of their defense. We were running, throwing. It was so much fun to watch that.
Touchdown!
Crowd is sensing blood in the water.
How cool was it to see Kerry Collins have the greatest performance by a Giant in Giant Stadium history.
It was pretty cool. Right? Just for team, you like to see your friends do well. You like to see them have big games. To be in that scenario in the NFC Championship game at home, in front of our fans, and to play like that, and for him to have the game he had, and he was flawless. I mean, he was lasering the ball. It was fun to watch.
Mr. Mara didn't normally say a lot of things, but he made a little speech.
This is the Giant team that was referred to as the worst team ever to win the home field advantage in the National Football League. And today, on this field of painter's mud, we proved that we're the worst team ever to win the National Football Conference Championship.
That man was so reserved and so respected with just his presence. And it was just nice to see Mr. Mara throw a jab. And so to have him say something like that, our owner's got our back.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. Jason Sehorn.
He's such a dynamic football player. To be as big as he was, one, to be as fast and as skilled as he was, two.
Just the athleticism. Be able to run, the size, to match up with bigger receivers. I mean, he had total confidence in his ability. And that's what made him special.
Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. Jason Sehorn.
Kick. Dixon will range back to his own three. Dixon to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Ron Dixon's going to go. No one's going to catch him.
There's a lot of confidence going into that Super Bowl.
Too much.
Why do you say too much confidence?
Because we had just beaten our arch nemesis, the Eagles, stomped an offensive team that was supposed to beat us 41-0. Not 41-32, not 41-14, nothing. Goose egg. I mean, we shut that team out. And now we're looking at this Baltimore team that on film is challenged offensively. However, we didn't watch a whole lot of film on their defense. Apparently, they were pretty good.
How hard was it coming back in 0-1?
There was a little chip on our shoulder as, unfinished business. Let's get back to work. The hardest part about the Super Bowl loss is you don't get to play another game. You got to sit there and, that's your last memory for 8 months. So to get out there and play again, you can kind of wash that taste out of your mouth and get going, win some games, get back on track, and, hopefully get back there.
So 0-1, no playoffs. 0-2 comes. You got to beat the Eagles one more time to get the division.
Last year, they beat us twice. They played better than we did for 60 minutes. No excuse. They played better than we did. And that flipped their season, and it flipped our season. They cost us everything we wanted last year. I don't want to say that at the end of this year.
Matt Bryant kicks the field goal. You're in.
Snap, spot, kick on its way, plenty of leg, and it is gone! The Giants are going to the playoffs! Matt Bryant from 39 yards out in overtime! Pandemonium at Giants Stadium!
I don't even have to remember the game. The fact that it's beating Philly to win the division, that's good enough for me.
We get into the postseason here. California kid going out to San Francisco, Candlestick Park, going to play the Niners, team that from your area, and you guys have this nice big lead. What happened?
I don't know what happened. I still am at a loss for what happened that game. I just remember the last play happening. Just snap, hold, kick, go home. Chaos ensued.
Snap is low. Allen can't get it down. Cut Allen can't get it down. He's trying to throw. He can tease it downfield. He throws it, and it's incomplete. There's a flag on the play. There's an interference flag, too.
Complete pass interference. The I remember the linebacker grabbed him by the jersey or the inside of his shoulder pads and just pulled him down. I can promise you, if I ever did that to a wide receiver, there'd be 10 yellow flags. Every single official on the field would have thrown a yellow flag at me. But because I think it was a linebacker and a lineman and he was eligible, they didn't throw I don't even know if he'd caught the ball. But it was pass interference.
That was your last game as a Giant.
Was it? Yeah, yeah.
So three, you wind up with a rant. How weird was that?
I'd love to have only, one name for all 10 years, but I wasn't the one writing the script, so.
Does it touch you how much you're still revered by Giants fans?
It's awesome. I mean, I love walking through New York City and being remembered, you know, for what I did. I'm grateful and thankful that it's not just, you know, a blip and gone.
I'm going to ask you what this means to you. Once a Giant, always a Giant.
Once a Giant, always a Giant means that I am in the fabric of this organization forever. We're an organization built to succeed, win. That's what we're trying to do. And you as a player feel like you're always a part of that no matter what. And it's from the organization to the entire, you know, environment that you're around here in New York that everybody, they remember you. There's no casual Giant fan. So once you're a Giant, they will always recognize you as a Giant.
Jason Sehorn had some of the most dynamic plays in Giants history. He was a shutdown corner. And although the kid was from California, one thing about Jason Sehorn, he adopted an East Coast philosophy. He did things his way. And that wraps it up for this week's edition of Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. I'm Bob Poppel. We'll see you next week, everybody. This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit GEICO.com.